TMZ TV.
From the edge of the bottom of the Floridian, no, it's the Floridian Peninsula. This is Martin Zender, and I am privileged once again to introduce you to two fellow believers, two fellow members of the body of Christ. You're going to spend eternity with these people. One is to my right, one is to my left. To my right is Alan Winters. Here he is.
Hello.
He was visiting his
sister.
Yep. Over on the West Coast. Where were you?
Port Charlotte.
Port Charlotte.
Yep.
And he said, Zender, are you going to be around on Sunday? I said, yes, I am. And then to my left is Frank Delmonico. Here's Frank.
Now,
where do you live?
I live in Fort Myers.
Fort Myers. And we've been I met you one time, Frank.
Right. You came to my house.
I came to your house. And
you slept in my house. I was privileged to have you there for a night.
That's right. You saved me a lot of money that night.
Yeah.
That was 4 years ago. I was traveling through Florida, and I was looking for... I was trying to decide if I wanted to live here. And then I realized that I did.
Yeah.
And part of the reason was your hospitality, my friend.
Thank you.
You did very well for me. And Alan lives in Minnesota, so you're not used to this kind of weather down here.
It's a little different up there.
I mean, you're way up there.
Yeah, I'm at the top of up in Duluth.
In Duluth?
Duluth.
Oh, my gosh.
Duluth,
yeah,
Minnesota.
The weather's a little different here today. I want to talk to these gentlemen about how they came to the faith, and it seems like there's always a crisis involved with faith. Something happens that kicks you out of the system. And Frank, you were talking to me earlier. Were you born in Italy, or no? You were born in the U.S., but your family's from Italy.
Yeah, I was born in Stamford, Connecticut.
Stamford, Connecticut.
Not in a hospital, in a house.
That's the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
Well, you told me your mom wasn't real keen on religion, though.
No.
Which was a good thing for you, turns out.
She went according to principles of what was right, and what's wrong was wrong. She was very strict with us, and she tried to tell us not to hang around with bad people, because that only makes you bad.
And yet you're here with me. I don't know.
So she would be very proud of us right
she
now.
She would be proud of us. Well, yeah, you were born in 1929, and things were simpler back then.
Right.
I mean, things are crazy today.
Right. And it's such a privilege to live this long, in a way, but it's at a cost.
What's the cost of living this long?
Well, my legs. And,
yeah, you got a bum knee down here. Look at this.
Knee.
You
got a bum knee. Ah,
oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, and.
And yet you're still driving. It's fantastic.
I don't know how long, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you're a live wire, though. Yeah. I mean, you're a spunky guy.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, you are. I mean, here you are. You know, you're hanging out with a couple of radicals here. Now, this guy, Alan, doesn't look like a radical. You look like a mild... I mean, look at this guy. I'm going to try to give you a close-up of this guy.
Oh, no, please. Save them.
He looks like a mild-mannered guy, but you're far from it.
I'm a radical.
You're a radical?
Yeah.
Do you care to tell your fellow members of the body of Christ why you're a radical? What exactly makes you a radical?
I listen to Martin Zender.
Oh, Lord. He listens to Martin Zender. That's the first thing.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. And then I had one of those events in my life that sort of set me on that path of searching. And that's where I found Martin.
Were you raised in a denomination?
I was in Assemblies of God my whole life. Yep.
Were you a somebody there? Were they grooming you to be a leader?
I was a leader up until a divorce. And then I was not known.
Oh, so. Yeah. You were telling me at lunch that all these people that you thought were your friends, you went through this horrible divorce, which is traumatic in anybody's life, and not maybe two people contacted you.
Right.
Where's the love? I thought Christ was the savior of grace. And
yeah. Not if you're sending by divorcing. So.
So they just cut you off
pretty much. Yeah, I've got a couple of good friends, but that's it. It came out of there. So.
I want to find out more about this, but first I have to talk to Frank over here. Frank, you were married for many years, and you had a beautiful wife.
Right, I was married for about almost 50 years.
You married Miss Toronto, for crying out loud, right?
Right, and...
You went for the beauties, huh?
Well, it was beauty, but she had brains. She was very intelligent, and she was good-hearted, and she took care of everything, and I didn't have nothing to worry about. That's all I could go out and work and make money, and she took care of everything.
That's nice. That's a good old-fashioned way to live. Your mom raised you, and that you saw a good example with your parents, probably, right?
Right. I was very during the Depression when I was born. My father was a tailor, and he worked with designing women's clothing. And during that time, he was making $100 a week.
That was big money back then.
Yeah. It was God provided me a wonderful parents. I couldn't dream of having anyone else.
Yeah, that was God's doing. He decides who our parents are. We don't have any choice there. Were you raised in a denomination?
No, we never went to church. Only I started to go to Catholic Church when I decided, well, maybe I need to make my communion and confirmation. And when I did that, the nuns were really tough on me.
The nuns were tough on you?
Yeah. Well, where you been all this time, you know? Where you been? And my mother never pushed us to do this. And so we went through the routine. I didn't know any better, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't know any better. And that's the way it goes. But it set me up for what I'm doing today.
Yeah, and what brought you to the truth? How did you end up coming here to see me, and how did you end up, I guess the question is, becoming a member of the body of Christ? God obviously predesignated you beforehand, but what were the circumstances in life?
Well, the biggest circumstances was when I was told that I needed to have an operation on my heart, 5 bypass, and so I went and had the operation. When I came to many hours later, I just says, what am I doing here? I really felt better where I was than to come back. But when I came back, all this in my mind was Bible, Bible, Bible. It was sort of God planted in me. Bible, and we had ministers come to talk to me, and none of them made sense.
Yeah,
you know, and I wanted the truth. They came to my house, and they just didn't have it.
Yeah, no, they don't have the truth.
No.
Who came to your house to try to talk you into what they called the truth?
Well, there was the
Jehovah's Witnesses.
No, it was. I just forget that name. Calvary Chapel.
Okay.
They had designated ministers that come to your house.
Oh, okay.
And he didn't know very much. So it was a very thrilling situation to realize that after that operation, that God had a message for me.
Right.
And he saw that I had to come back and live in his flesh. So the doctor said to me that he had the heart and to stop the heart. The heart started immediately without any help. And he said that he added 20 years on my life because it was the period of time my heart was stopped.
Yeah, and you came to see God was behind all this.
Yes.
But I'm sure those ministers tried to tell you that maybe this evil that happened to you was because of some bad thing that you did. When did you come to find out that God was in control of all these things and that God was bigger than what they were telling you?
Sometime right after the operation. God became more real to me. And I realized that he saved my life. And I didn't know what he saved it for, but eventually I found out.
Eventually you found out, yeah. How did you end up finding out the truth that God was the savior of all humanity?
Well, I started out with Les Feldick through the Bible,
uh-huh.
And my wife, and at that time, I liked the idea he used the Bible more than just giving the sermons.
Right.
And I liked that, and so I started to really appreciate that, and I was began to learn some foundation.
Right.
That has helped me now. And I had a privilege to listen to other ministers. I went to a place where I shouldn't have been, where these ministers were not together on the subject. You would think they would have unity, but they were trying to outplay each other.
They were
trying to outplay each other. And yet, God saw to it that I had to be there because even these people claim to have the truth, they not necessarily do, because each one thinks differently. So
yeah.
Where's the truth? There's
yeah.
no truth when everybody thinks differently.
Right.
Because they're out trying to show themselves.
Yeah. There's only one truth. There's only one truth.
Yeah.
No, it's not for us. Somebody's trying to deliver us a pizza.
Yeah.
Hey, if you can't find anybody, you know, we'll take the pizza. You know what? If you can't find anybody. I don't think they're home, sir.
No?
No. I'll just leave it here. We might get a free pizza out of this. Alan. No, Alan, I got to tell you, Alan bought Frank and me lunch in Fort Lauderdale, so we definitely appreciate that.
My pleasure.
Is there a catalyst that you can think of besides the divorce? I mean, that's a big enough catalyst. Through the divorce, you found out that the church were a bunch of fakers.
Right.
That the grace that they said they had, they only have it if you behave yourself according to their standards.
Right.
What took you to the level of, like this question I asked Frank, finding out that God is in control and that God is bigger than anybody ever told you?
Well, it has been over the last 6 years, actually, is when I found a lot of the information that I believe from Martin online at martinzender.com.
It's a good advertisement for the website. Thank
absolutely.
You.
And I started watching the Crack of Dawn reports, and I'm like, who is this guy? I love him. I remember him walking around the woods dressed like God, trying to find Noah, because Noah was lost, obviously. And, you know, the more I watched, the more I recognized through all of the humor that there was truth that was coming. And, of course, the truth came to me from God through Martin, and I started to do a deep dive over the last 6 years into it. So that's kind of where I did. And when the truth comes, and it's still coming, every day I listen to Martin Zender's TV, MZTV, and every day I sit there and I go, wow, there's something that pops. And I'm like, didn't know that. Amazing.
That makes me feel good. And you have a spiritual instinct, because I think a lot of people would maybe trip over maybe the humor in mm-hmm. some of those Crack of Dawn reports. I did some crazy stuff, like mm-hmm. dressed like God and walked through the woods. Mm-hmm. But maybe it was the kind of thing where you couldn't look away. And and the truth came out. That's the bottom line. And both of you gentlemen, you have a spiritual instinct. You know what's true, but you recognize what's wrong. That goes right along with it, right?
Yes, excuse me. But there's one thing I will say, that how I became interested in your gospel and some of the other truth mm-hmm. that you were associated with, I was driving, and I said to Jesus, I said, I don't know if I really know you. I said, maybe I don't really know you. And this is when I was going attending the other Christian churches, dispensation churches. I says, but it seems as though I don't have that connection with you.
Mm.
And I says, I don't feel that I know you. And so that's when that fellow from Pennsylvania,
Clyde Pilkington.
Yeah, he sent me magazines and stuff.
Yes.
And that's how I got to know you and this movement. But that's the way it was, because I told God, I don't know you, and I feel I don't know you. And where can I find you? And that's where
wow.
It happened.
That is a real cry of the heart. And I experienced something like that in 1979 after I watched, many people listening to me know this story, I watched Jesus of Nazareth, the miniseries, and that was my cry when I saw what our Lord went through.
Right.
I wondered why he had to die. I always wondered that as a kid, looking at the crucifix hanging over the altar at the Catholic Church, but that was my cry, is I have to know you. I feel like I don't know you. I've been in church for 18 years.
Right.
And yet I feel like I don't know who you are.
Right.
And that was a cry of my heart.
Right.
And that's a sincere cry. And I think if that cry is sincere, God will answer it.
Absolutely.
I mean, God answered it with you.
He did.
And I want to ask you one last question, both of you guys. I have gone out on a limb on my show and at various conferences about where we are on the Aeonian calendar, as far as what a lot of people call the end times. We're looking forward to the snatching away of the body of Christ. We know that the world is on a crash course for disaster. I assume you've heard my Revelation series and the final years of Millennium 6. What's your feeling about where we are on the God's Aeonian calendar?
Well, a really smart guy I know used to say that I think that the Lord might be coming back in about 5 minutes. And
I heard that one, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's answers just is perfect. Well, I think if you look at the technology in the world and you look at everything that is occurring in the world right now, if you can conceive things that are way beyond that, and this world still being here, I don't think so. I don't, and I think it's coming soon, very soon.
I agree. You're going to comfort a lot of people who just heard you say that. And again, that's a spiritual instinct, and a lot of people out there are feeling it, but we don't go by our feelings. We go by scripture, and we look at the signs, we look at the times, we look at the seasons. We know the seasons are for Israel, and yet if Israel's close, we're even closer.
Right.
What are your thoughts about that, Frank, with Israel, the end times, or whatever you want to add to that conversation?
Well, as you see the world and the abuse of children and the way of life, the lying and not truthful. No one's truthful as they once were when I was growing up. A man's word was his word, and that's no longer the case. And the world is being dominated by uneducated politicians.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Yeah. Well said. Well, I've been really honored by your visit, both of you, Frank and Alan, and I'm sorry you can only stay for an afternoon, but I'm thankful that you agreed to talk to fellow members of the Body of Christ. The viewership loves to meet the people that they're going to be spending eternity with.
Yes.
And I say this every video that I make practically, and that is that the number one complaint I get from people is we're just lonely, we're isolated. Frank, I don't know how many times you've called me. Frank, I talk to Frank on the phone quite often, and your number one complaint, and let's face it, we all complain, is that it's lonely.
Well, we got to be truthful, you know?
Yeah.
What we miss is the presence of Christ, so that we can have a greater fellowship with him and learn so much more than we can now in these bodies.
Yes.
We're just not capable of learning the way we will be able to learn with a new mind and a new body. We won't fall asleep listening.
That's right. Well said. And I know, Alan, I'll close with this. Alan, just today you were talking to your family about the truth. Mm-hmm. And when you have this truth inside of you, you can't help but talk about it.
Right.
And it doesn't matter to me who brings in the last member of the body of Christ.
Right. Yep.
You can feel free to do that if you want. Just go ahead and herald the word opportunely and inopportunely.
I'm for it.
And I know Frank, he likes to talk. And he's a smart guy.
I try, but I get nervous, folks.
You're nervous.
I'm very nervous.
I'm nervous talking to you. All right, this has been Martin Zender with my friends Frank and Alan. And God bless you all. As always, thanks for watching.